Cooper said, look, why not this year? We saw what happened to Kansas City last year.
Yeah.
Why not us?
My favorite part was, though, when I think it was Paul Molitor who was out there saying during that same press conference, saying, Minnesota Twins fans have been through a lot lately. It's tough being a Minnesota Twins fan. This brand new stadium, they're paying a lot of money to come to these games, and we want it to be more than just coming to a beautiful ballpark. We want it to be coming to the ballpark for a winning organization, and this team can do it. They can turn around quickly, and they can do it. So what is the biggest reason for the turnaround? Mike and I talk all the time about the chemistry, the clutch hitting, scoring early, good bullpen, a couple other things. Is it Paul Molitor? Is it Torrey Hunter? Is it because Torrey Hunter's in there and everybody's loose and they actually have a leader and they're not, nobody's babying Jode Mauer anymore, even though he's only batting like .275-ish? What is the reason for the turnaround, and can they sustain it? Because as of yesterday, most people around Major League Baseball, the reporters and national reporters and whatnot, were saying, oh, it's nice for the Twins to be 10 games above 500
right now. Tagging along. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, tagging along. But this isn't real. They're about to implode. This is Minnesota Twins we're talking about. So can they sustain this? And the other question that I asked you that I forgot.
Why is it happening?
Yeah.
I would say this. I think Hunter's a big part of it. It's hard to quantify leadership, but I think he's a good influence on Hicks. I think he's a good influence on Rosario, anyone in that outfield. I think the dance party is a great idea. It's, we talked to Molitor about
it. It's a smoke machine.
Yes, and so we talked about this just like minutes ago before I ran through the rain. My commitment, obviously, to come to the office and hang out with you guys. But
if you were Mike Berardino, you would have just called.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you see Berardino? Berardino is not here.
I know he isn't. We invite him all the time, and he will not do it.
He's a nice man, but he's kind of grouchy.
Is he really a nice man?
He isn't. He's nice to me. He is grouchy, however. I mean, Morris knows.
Why is he so grouchy?
I don't know, dude. He's a serious journalist. He doesn't like to be bothered.
That's the thing, too. And it's the thing is, he always says on our show, well, if you would have read my tweet, well, I have more things to do.
He has like 99 tweets per day. I think that guy sleeps like 6 hours a day.
Yeah, I have more things to do than to just follow your every single tweet. Well, if you would have read my article to twitchtv.com, well, shut up.
No, he has good
That's
stuff.
I'm asking you the question.
He's a great reporter. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We asked Molitor, I think it was Pat Borzi, asked Molitor, did Torrey run this by you? And he goes, no, but Molitor didn't care. He's like, look, we got to do what we got to do to win. Molitor is very calculated. Another reason why they're winning, well, they're using advanced stats, and they go, hey, we should use Perkins for 4 outs. And, mind-blowing, maybe you should use Perkins, your best reliever for more than just 1 inning, right? But he's doing that, and I at the same time, he's cool, just like, it's like Terry Ryan. Terry Ryan lets his scouts do his thing, and he lets them, do their job. This is kind of, Molitor as well. He's saying, let the players, they know, Torrey Hunter knows how to win. He is 39 and still playing baseball very well. And so, God forbid we have a smoke machine and some laser shows, and it's gotten hilarious. Literally, last time I walked in there, like, it was white. I felt like I walked into heaven or something like that. And I could not see across the room. But I remember when it first happened, I pulled J.R. Graham, one of the relievers, aside, and I said, what's up? Like, why is there smoke in here? And he goes, oh, yeah, Torrey Hunter has a light show. And I think none of those guys are good dancers, and I think it's very freeing for those players to just kind of let loose. Mike Pelfrey, big 6'7" guy, just doing his thing. Aaron Hicks, he was saying, I'm using the moves I learned in high school, taking off his shirt and whipping around. These guys, I think, are loose and easy, and I think, that's what helps. There's an incentive to win, this kind of fun incentive that, hey, we can hang out afterwards and do a little dance party and enjoy baseball.
I have a question, then.
Yeah.
What's Joe Mauer doing in this?
That is a very good question, and it's something I thought about. Like, how is he involved in this? Because he is very kind of reticent and just not...
He's a fun hater.
I think
every party needs a pooper, and that's why we invited him.
I think this is good for him in a way. And like I said, it's actually something I should probably ask him about it. But does he get involved? Because I think he's a guy who needs to let loose. He's been under obviously a lot of pressure, and I think sometimes, I don't know if calculated is the right word, but he's obviously conservative in what he does. And I think sometimes you need a little Torrey Hunter in you where you just kind
of,
just kind of let loose and enjoy it. It is baseball. It is a kid's game. And
you are paying a lot of money
to do this on a very, very big stage. And the other thing, too, is, I think it's helped in a winning streak where, Molitor said, get greedy. This is a way to get greedy. Hey, we're on a roll. We're not always going to have, I think today he's like, we're not going to keep up a 17-6 pace at Target Field. But, when you're at home and when you're around people that you know, and those guys do know each other very well, why not have fun and let loose and just play? I think those guys are much better off than if they're kind of in a shell grip the bat too tight, as I always say. I'm worried about making mistakes.
That fun's like that. Coming through my TV. I mean, they're a contagious team right now, almost like they were back in the early to mid-2000s. They're a lot of fun to watch.
That's what they need to be. They need to be young and not worry about what other people are saying about them or what their limitations are, because I think young players are very unlimited. They're not... They haven't been around so long that they're like, well, I know where I'm at or whatever.
They don't know can't.
Yes. And that's what they need.
Just go out there and play. Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha and 105theticket.com. You also, Cold Omaha has a show you put together. I believe did Sam say it's 8 to 11?
I think so. And I know we're going
to
have
8 to 11 on Sunday mornings.
We're asking for that other hour. We got Luke Inman. We got Brandon Warren, obviously two of our homegrown writers, I guess, if you will. And then, with Stanley Cup coming around, with the NBA playoffs where they're at, with the local sports
scene. You're going through the 53, way too early, 53-man
Vikings
roster. Yes,
with Inman. Yeah, Inman probably has that memorized. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's just enough going on. I mean, the fact that football is being talked about right now means that you got baseball, and like I said, and you got the NHL playoffs and an NBA playoffs. So a lot of talk about, and I think we'll have a fun show. Obviously, we encourage people to listen and call in and stuff like that.
Carl Anthony Towns or Jahlil Okafor?
I'm with Towns. I think I said this on the show before. I liked Okafor's size. I was on that bandwagon, if you will, before. What convinced me is that it's going to be hard for him to learn how to shoot free throws in an NBA arena and under NBA pressure.
If it's so easy to shoot free throws and it's so easy to teach that and teach defense,
you'd figure it.
Then why did Shaq or Dwight Howard or any of these guys,
exactly.
why can't they shoot free
DeAndre
throws?
DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, and I think I'm on and obviously cover the team and watch college basketball a little bit. I think you got a guy in talent so you can plug in, plays defense, plays more tempo. You guys talked about this in your last segment. This is a team that needs to play in transition because that's where Levine thrives, that's where Wiggins thrives, that's where Rubio thrives. So
and Shabazz.
Yeah, Shabazz. They have a lot going on. They really, if they do this well, and I think if they take Towns, they can get serious pretty quick. And hopefully Saunders can make some outlandish statements too.
Yes.
I think he might if he picks the right guy. He's going to have some outlandish statements to explain the other one if he goes the other direction. But hey, let's just hope for the best. All us Timberwolf. Abused
Wolf
fans.
Nation,
But next up, Adrian Peterson update. We're going to do it again. That's what we've got.
Adrian Peterson update.
Adrian Peterson update, for gosh
this
sakes.
This will be good.
We're down here at the office down in Washington, 3rd Street. Stop on by. We'll be here for a little while. And you can say hi to the Radioactive show. And why not? Just stop on by and have a drink. Have a bowl of soup with me on the back deck. It's raining out. It's a perfect day to have a bowl of soup. And, we can contemplate whether or not the Twins are going to play at all. Who knows? But they just may. Who knows? Radioactive Sports, next.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Andrew Wiggins, I was impressed no end by his shooting and his high difficulty of shots. And his aggressiveness toward the rim stunned me.
The most impressive thing about Andrew Wiggins was his aggressiveness and willingness to get to the free throw line. My shot's not falling. I'm having trouble getting in the post. I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to go get 2 free throws.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
Adrian, you know, he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Amen, brother.
I think that that was very explicit. That was very to the point. Head coach Mike Zimmer explaining the options of Adrian Peterson. First option being, come on back, put on the shoulder pads, put on the purple, play some football. Second option, don't put on the shoulder pads, don't wear the purple, sit at home, not play at all. And that's pretty...
Not big, $12.75 million.
Which one do you choose? Let's see.
I even like the $250,000 option of coming to OTAs.
No kidding.
I like that.
No kidding. But he's contemplating now, I guess. He got back on Twitter a little bit last night and had a few things to say. Also made sure that everyone understood that it wasn't against Minnesota, against the Vikings. Just not understanding how contracts work.
So I have some serious questions to ask you about Adrian Peterson.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
What happens if Adrian Peterson returns? Let's say he comes back June 16th for the OTAs.
Okay.
That's probably the best case scenario. That's mandatory minicamp.
Minicamp.
That's probably the best case scenario. What happens if he comes back August 16th?
He's going to put on the pads and play. I mean, but now it's going to be a little different. I mean, there's going to be friction for a while. He's going. I don't know what he's going to intend on doing until then. I don't think it can help him. I think he has to know and understand that the more he gets in front of this thing and tries to smooth it out and shows up a little more, it can ease the pain an awful lot more as he gets into the season or training camp. Break the ice now. Just get it over with now in these OTAs. Do it. Just do it now.
Next question.
Okay.
What happens if Adrian Peterson does not have their, they don't restructure his contract, there's no guaranteed money. The moment he gets the littlest nick, he decides he's taking care of himself because he has to, you know, get this guaranteed money or a new contract, different team, same team, whatever. There's no guaranteed money, so he has to take the best possible care of himself. He gets a little bit of an injury. He sits out and doesn't go back into the game.
Well, that would be a rare thing to see him do that.
But if he doesn't have guaranteed money.
Look, does he want to get to the end of the contract or does he want to get to the end of the road where Emmett Smith is? To do that, you got to play in games, and I think that he's motivated more so by, and look, if he plays like that, and if he's really on track, say after one more, maybe two more years with us, they're probably going to be okay with his contract the way it is, because if he's putting up those kinds of numbers and wanting to get to Emmett, him wanting to get to Emmett Smith's numbers will probably propel him back to a career that we've been used to. And he could run it down. I mean, it would take incredible football to get it done, but he is that kind of player. And I think that everything takes care of itself if you're just the good football player you always were. The money comes, the years and another contract and a possibility of breaking that Emmett Smith record.
Okay. Well, what happens if the Vikings just guarantee the next 2 years? No new money, no raise. After the $12.75 million, 2 years guaranteed, $28 million. Vikings could take out an insurance policy if something god-awful happens, just in case he gets hurt. End all this drama tomorrow. He's at the next OTA. Why don't they do that?
I just think that the Vikings are very wary of him and what he's been kind of about and the injuries and everything that he's had. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to guarantee someone who might get nicked in the next game. He's a running back. I mean, they just don't put that kind of money on running. He's a totally different kind of guy, though. You know, when you talk running backs, that's one thing. But when you talk Adrian Peterson, that is a whole different beast. It really is. And they know that. But that's a lot of money to be kicking around with someone who's had the ACL, who's had the leg and the foot. He's had the groin, the groin that was surgically reattached this past off season. The season before, rather. I don't know. And he hasn't played football in a long time. All last year, basically, okay, he played against the Rams. He hasn't played football in about a year and a half.
Vikings have obviously really, really good things happening. A rising star in Ted Bridgewater, a coach players, including Peterson Love, in Mike Zimmer, a new stadium opening in 2016 next year. Would it send a bad message to reward Adrian Peterson after they already paid him almost $10 million last season when he didn't even play after he hit his kid with the stick? Because on some level, that might send a bad message to other players, but telling a player of his caliber to either suck it up or retire also sends a message to not only Adrian Peterson, potential free agents, and the rest of the players on your team.
Adrian Peterson was a big name to have come under scrutiny by the NFL, and they used him as the case of all cases to put everything from here on into place with domestic violence and with the child abuse issues. That became an NFLPA must. That they had to handle that case right. It was because it was Adrian Peterson, and again, Coach Zimmer would be sharp enough, and I know he will do this, is that he will use that as a precedence to govern this team and to hold everyone responsible. If we do this to Adrian Peterson, you can damn well bet we're going to handle you the same way, for sure. We're handling the most marquee guy that we've had run through here in probably 15, 20 years. Randy Moss, I guess. Randall McDaniel. There have been some great ones come through here, but this is a great football player, and they're gonna set a precedence with it. We will talk about Flip Saunders and the possibility of handing the reins over to a certain Fred Hoiberg, the Iowa State Cyclone head coach right now. And we've already heard that he's interested in passing off the baton from time to time with Chauncey Billups and some other people that he's had on his menu.
And they tried for Fred Hoiberg, Tom Izzo,
Yeager,
David Yeager.
With the Grizzlies.
Last year.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's possible if it's the right kind of guy. I think Flip would probably want to step down, give it to someone that he really likes. I think he likes Fred Hoiberg. We're going to kick all that around next right here at Radioactive Sports.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Let's dance.
Shall we? Devil's Dance.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's what I like right there.
They can play.
I also
rock and roll.
Oh god, yeah. I'm a big fan of bands that have chugging guitars.
Oh, I do too. Love it. Great drummer.
The only thing that worries me about Lars, yeah, I know. The only thing that worries me about Lars Ulrich, though, I feel like a ball is going to pop out. His shorts that he wears are so dang small.
Yeah,
but he's European, so they do crazy things like that. He doesn't care if his balls pop out.
The bass player from Ozzy Osbourne's band that replaced the old Metallica bass player. He's great in live shows. He's fantastic. I mean, the hair, the whole thing. I mean, he's got long...
Is that
long,
Rob?
I can't pronounce his last name.
Trujillo?
Yeah.
Trujillo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Crazy. When he strikes the pose, man, he gets down in that bass stance. Yeah. And just rips the hair. It's too much.
I love bass players.
I do too, man.
On hard rock bands, I love bass players.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like Aerosmith or some of these other bands, their bass players are the dorkiest people in the history of rock and roll.
I met Aerosmith once, and they...
I think he's a woman.
Joe Perry and Steven Tyler consider the other members of the band the other three.
Of course they do.
They call them the other three.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm pretty sure the bass player for Aerosmith is doing a Bruce Jenner deal. And there were rumors all over the internet that Bruce Jenner did the old...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Went from a rooster to a hen.
And I believe he's walking around in a blonde wig and a sundress the other day in Malibu.
You know what? Be what you want to be in this world. It's short. Life's short.
Yeah.
You know what? He was really pissed off about being a man.
Mm-hmm.
He did it really well, though.
Yeah.
He was a really good guy for a while. Anyway, I don't know. Hey, another really good guy.
Station publicity, real quick, before we go into this. Would you get a sex change for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
When?
Tomorrow.
A lot of work to do. A lot of setup. I don't know. If we can find an anesthesiologist, I don't know. I suppose so.
Just use some ice cubes. Just numb it up.
Do I get to pick, like, the parts, too?
Sure.
I think llama. How do you get back into sports after this?
Well, Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg. That's a perfect way to get back into it.
Yeah.
You just say Fred Hoiberg.
Uh-huh.
And that possibility, I guess it could be a possibility anyway, that Flip Saunders would want to lure him away from the Chicago Bulls.
I don't think it's Flip Saunders. Flip Saunders wants to coach.
Glenn Taylor?
It's Glenn Taylor.
Why did Flip throw that thing out there to Chauncey Billups not very long ago?
Yeah. That's
Why?
A thing.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeager. Why'd he do that?
Well, he did the same thing with Fred Hoiberg last year, and Fred Hoiberg, I think, signed a 10-year, $10 million or whatever, It was a massive contract.
And you make about $3 million down in Iowa State. You're making a lot of money.
But right now, just a month after having, I believe it was open-heart surgery,
again,
Fred Hoiberg is the favorite to land the Chicago Bulls head coaching position after Tom Thibodeau was fired yesterday after having one of the best winning percentages. I want to say it was the top 8 winning percentage of a coach that's coached over 200 games or something like that. Just ridiculous. And we talked about this yesterday about the Chicago Bulls and how stupid their front office is. They ran Phil Jackson out of town. Phil Jackson, after winning 6 world championships.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan wants nothing to do with the Chicago Bulls. Granted, now he owns his own team, but they're the reason why Michael Jordan went to the Washington Wizards and played for all these different teams. Because Jerry Reinsdorf, and I think it was Jerry Krause in the day.
Yep.
Just idiots. But when you think about it, Fred Hoiberg played with the Chicago Bulls.
He did.
In his career.
Played for the T-Wolves, too.
And would be a great coach because the Chicago Bulls are poised to win a championship right now. So if he wants to win right now, But he has a great relationship with Glenn Taylor. He worked in the front office. He played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. What an exciting team to come to, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and be the hero. His family loved being here. Young kids.
Yep.
Loved being here. And you would be the hero for the Timberwolves organization. There's no way to go but up. It's not like you're going to lose 66 games again. And you could coach Andrew Wiggins, arguably the best young player in the NBA. I would say right behind maybe Anthony Davis. And, I mean, he's right up there, top three for sure.
I agree.
And then with adding the first overall draft pick, whether it's Jahlil Okafor or Karl-Anthony Towns. We'd prefer Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, both situations would be great. But it would be interesting if Glenn Taylor made the call. I don't think Flip Saunders wants to give up the coaching spot. And it's interesting that you brought up the Chauncey Billups deal and that he did try and get Dave Yeager and Tom Izzo. But for this team, Fred Hoiberg would be brilliant. Look what he does down in Iowa State with young players. Player development. Look, Flip Saunders has to go away.
Know. No, he doesn't. He's got every other position anyway. He owns part of the team. President. General manager, basically. Which... we all know, and coaching now, too. So, he probably needs to take some of that off his plate, and that's probably why he thought, well, if my perfect choice would come here, I would step down from the coaching job and let a guy like Hoiberg or Chauncey Billups or whomever take over it. But it has to be just the right guy for Flip, apparently.
But what, I mean, Chauncey Billups, who was a great court general and a point guard. And somebody
did he play with Flip in Detroit?
Yeah. Didn't he play here, too, with him?
He did.
But why get a guy like Chauncey Billups who has no head coaching experience when you could get a guy, and obviously I think Flip Saunders' first choices would be Fred Hoiberg or Tom Izzo, somebody that has head coaching experience, has been there, done that, and granted it's been in the college game, but he trusts both of them.
He definitely does.
I want to be sad if Fred Hoiberg goes to the Chicago Bulls.
Hoiberg, I'm telling you right now, I don't really see him moving. He's from Iowa. I think he went to Iowa. Did he go to Iowa State? He might have played at Iowa State. I'm not sure, but I know he's the mayor, and I know they love him down there, and I know he's making an awful lot of money for an Iowan, having been from Iowa. That's a ton of money down there.
Did we just have an earthquake?
We did. It's a 5.6 on the Richter scale.
That was crazy. But Fred Hoiberg going through his second open-heart surgery, does he really need the stress and the chaos, not only of the NBA, but the Chicago Bulls organization? That's the third biggest city in the country. I mean, all eyes are on you. It's the president's favorite basketball team.
It sure is.
It's not like you're talking the Milwaukee Bucks here.
Nope.
This is the Chicago Bulls.
Freddie Hoiberg probably would be very, very comfortable staying right where he is, especially with the health issues. That you're right. You're absolutely right. That's a good point. The NBA, I think, would be a lot more stressful to a head coach than the basketball. So we'll see how that goes. But
wouldn't
I don't
have to recruit anymore, though. Have to do more recruiting.
Being in his position down at Iowa State, I don't think he probably recruits. He probably just sends them out. He probably just sends the boys out to go get the kids he wants and probably trusts them. And I think the kids probably want to come and play for Fred Hoiberg, too. That's probably not that big a deal, trying to get talent to come to Iowa State now. Some of the talent from the University of Minnesota, though, is going to be heading out to Baltimore with the Ravens. One of the biggest heated battles that they expect with the Baltimore Ravens this year is at tight end, the tight end position.
Max Williams?
Max Williams. That's right. And we have a Mike's break coming up, and I think I want to talk about that because they think that Max Williams will challenge Dennis Pitta, P-I-T-T-A.
Wow. He's good.
He's a good player, but he's got a hip injury, more of a blocking-type tight end, and we all know that Max is probably the better receiver of the two. Ozzie Newsome, he picks him, and he picks him right most of the time. He picked our very own Max Williams, a friend of the show, and we'll talk about Max and his chances of making this club and being a starter next year with the Baltimore Ravens next.
Passionate sports talk.
I was sitting there watching it with all these people, and they thought that Pacquiao was winning, and I was the only one going, he is getting slaughtered. He looked so teeny to me against Floyd Mayweather. It was like a monster fighting a little kid.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, that's how it goes right there. We roll into a Mike's break.
That'll work.
Ben Holson gargling a little bit.
I have a sore throat. I'm not Ben Holson. I'm
Scott Farrell on the bench.
Farrell on the bench.
Farrell on the mahogany. We got a pretty good tight end, a pretty good player that wound up here at the University of Minnesota for a few years. He was a junior, I believe. Sophomore. Max yeah. Williams. Great player. We've had him on the show a couple times. A really good kid. Knew his father. Played against his father many times.
You think he's ready for the Giants. NFL?
I do. I think he's ready to go. Yeah, I do. I think Max can play this game. He has Dennis Pitta. Mm-hmm. Is it P-I-T-T-A?
Dennis Pitta. He's a very good player.
He's a great player. And the thing that he's got going on there, Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh, is that Pitta is injured. He's injured his hip and pretty badly.
No, no.
The doctors think that he's coming around. They feel like he could be back and ready at full scale by training camp, and let's hope so. But you never wish a player, anything but the best when it comes to an injury and getting mm-hmm. back to his career and whatnot. But also, we are big Max Williams fans, and we want him to make that team. But he's got a lot stacked against him as far as becoming an actual starter. Or this could happen, too. And I was reading our very own source, the Your and Mine Bleacher Report, talking about the biggest camp battles team by team, and this one being the one for the Baltimore Ravens. And they said, well, there is a chance, there's a possibility that if Max turns out to be the kind of, receiving tight end that they think he is that both could be on the field at the same time.
For sure.
And make a great tandem, and who are you going to cover?
And we've seen that done very successfully, obviously it's gone on for years and years and years in the NFL, but didn't Peyton Manning did it in Indianapolis, I want to say?
I mean, Dallas Clark, he was a great tight end. I don't know who would be opposite that. I can't recall, but I do know that the New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots, yeah.
Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, that was pretty good for
before
a while.
He started killing people.
Yeah, before, well, no, I don't think before.
While he was killing people?
As he was killing people, apparently, but I don't know. I think that Max has a great chance, and let me tell you why. To see some of the catches that this young man made over on the sidelines in the back of the end zone, you all remember that from last season. He not only has pretty good hands for a tight end, he has really good hands for a wide receiver, too. The last game of the year, the bowl game, catches a pass out on the left flat.
Touchdown.
Just steaming toward the end zone. You're thinking, well, a big tight end, they're going to tackle him, right? They're going to put him on the ground. Not so much. He hurdles two guys. He hurdles over two players. Who did we play? Who in the hell did we play in the playoff in the bowl game last year?
Why would you ask me that question right now? I was just going to say what it was, and then now I've forgotten because I've caught your dementia. It's contagious.
Okay. What is wrong?
Missouri.
It's Mizzou. That's right. M-I-Z-Z-O-U. Mizzou. Ra. But that's the Tigers, and he jumped. That's a pretty good team too, by the way. Missouri. Max jumped over two guys, just hurdled both guys. And I think he's an impressive kid. Outside of the hands, he's also got a lot of athletic ability. His father was a great player, so he gets it naturally. And I just think, I think he has a great chance of having a really long NFL career.
For sure.
Stays healthy.
Great kid and a hard worker with a big heart. And as we talk about whether we want Carl Anthony Towns or Jahlil Okafor for the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's just one of those things that we over and over and over say again, you can't teach somebody hard work. You can't teach the heart. You can't teach the want to. Yeah. I'm sure you can teach it, but it's harder to do than when somebody that just has it and their insides just burn for the game. I love our guy, Max. A little sad because I feel like it stunts the growth of the Minnesota Gophers. And obviously I care about the Gophers more than I care about the Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely.
So that's a bummer.
Yeah, it really
I felt
is,
like he could have played one more year, just giving us one more year because he went in the second round.
He sure did.
He was the best tight end in the draft, everybody was saying, but he still won the second round. I think if he had another year, he could have secured a first round, but then
possibly,
at the same time, could have been injured, too. So
you never know.
Obviously, I wish him the best. But I, like you said, the Baltimore Ravens always just pick the right guys. Ozzie Newsome constantly picking guys that I want on the Minnesota Vikings. It's so frustrating. The Vikings will pass up on a guy, and then the Ravens will take him, and he ends up being a Pro Bowler. It drives me nuts.
Watch. And Ozzie Newsome, oh, by the way, a teammate of mine with the Cleveland Browns, he might know a little something about tight end play. He was one. He's actually in the Hall of Fame. But he knows talent. And I think that Max is that kind of guy, and we want to keep track of that. I don't want anyone to forget
about what that young man's off and doing now. So let's keep track of what he's doing through training camp as it gets closer to that. And Max Williams, I thought that would be worth bringing up today. And that being
thank you
cited as one of the top battles.
What do they say about the Minnesota Vikings, the top battle?
Well, we can surely try and find that. It might take some time for me to find it, but I can do it. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. What would it be? I mean, it could be, I'm trying to think. Linebacker position, maybe. The top battle, though. Who could it be? Offensive line? Left guard, right guard.
Just trying to flow through.
There's no quarterback situation, not really anything. Running back, tight ends, no.
I think, don't you think it's going to be like a linebacker, probably? Well, the Minnesota Vikings, wow, slot receiver.
Slot receiver makes sense.
I guess so.
Stephon Diggs or Jarius Wright.
Yeah, I mean, Cordell Patterson's name is being brought up in this. Yeah. So Stephon Diggs, I think, is going to be that kind of kid, too. I think more, way more so instinctively than Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, for sure. But I love Jarius Wright.
Oh, I do, too.
And Jarius Wright, I feel like, has earned a spot. Oh, but if Stephon Diggs beats him out in training camp, like you said, it's a business part of the game. It's what happens.
Well, there's a way of keeping, you know, Jarius Wright out on the field, too. I mean, even if Stephon Diggs shows up and he's the real deal. There's no question about it. We're going to break off into the sillier side of sports.
I have some doozies for you today.
And then you take off and you're gone a little bit next week, aren't you?
Shh. I don't want anybody to rob my house.
All right. Well, I won't say anything then.
Take that back.
No one heard that, right? Nobody heard that. But we are going
to... No, you're
going
to have fun with Brian Murphy Sam Ekstrom, and you're going to have a gay old time, as they say in the song.
You think we won't?
I know you will.
I know that we will. And, you know, we're going to come on bat. Sillier side, expect some great stuff because that's what Holson's going with right now and a true superstar to end up the week, okay? Come on back.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray slots in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Sunday, the Sprint Cup Series races at the Monster Mile, the FedEx 400, live from Dover International Speedway. Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
It's the final deal here before we go home for a couple of days. Sillier Side of Sports, superstar Mike Morris. I'm Ben Holson. We're at the Office Pub and Grill on the corner of Washington and 3rd. The rain seems to have let up a little bit down here. Twins hoping to play at 7:10. We're just steps away from Target Field in Gate 3. Free parking in the back. We're giving away Twins tickets, so we'd love to have you down here. You ready for this? Some idiot athletes. You ready for this, superstar?
I used to be one, so I'm ready.
Chip Kelly. I don't think he really wants Riley Cooper coming to his rescue. But if anybody can sense a racist, it's probably the Eagles wide receiver. Kelly made it clear on Thursday to anyone that would listen that he's not a racist, responding to LeSean McCoy, who continually brings up the fact that he thinks Chip Kelly's a racist.
I know it.
He's not a racist, but just a coach who wants players that buy into his program, according to Riley Cooper. Cooper echoed those comments, saying that the criticism of Kelly is upsetting. Quote, it's definitely difficult and upsetting for sure. Riley Cooper said to the Delaware County Times, I know Kelly is not like that. Of course, 2 years ago, Riley Cooper faced even worse scrutiny when he hurled a racial slur at an African-American security guard during a Kenny Chesney concert. So Riley Cooper, not the guy you want coming into your fence.
Definitely
because
not.
He is a racist.
Yeah, well, he had to do some apologizing. He had to do a little apologizing, old Riley Cooper. But Chip Kelly being accused by the human joystick, LeSean McCoy, of getting rid of all the black athletes, the good black players on the Philadelphia Eagles. He swears by it. He thinks that it absolutely is the case.
Well, you look at the players that, I mean, DeMarco Murray is an African-American, but Kiko Alonso, they traded LeSean McCoy for, white. Riley Cooper, white. Tim Tebow, Sam Bradford, white. I mean, most of the players that he's bringing in are white.
Well,
he's getting rid of DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy.
Chip Kelly also said that he would not, he does not fear what people say about him, and he won't be governed by that fear. And he also said that if you let that kind of thing bother you, or you second guess yourself and you don't believe in yourself, you're going to have a really long life ahead of you. And that's what he said.
Probably not a long life in the NFL, though, because I'm predicting that they might be the worst team in the NFC East.
There's a good possibility of that. I don't know for sure, but I think that they got rid of too many players. They picked up Murray from Dallas to fill in for McCoy. I don't know if that fills the bill there.
No.
I think Murray was perfect for Dallas. I'm not so sure he's that kind of back, though. But we'll find out. We'll find out soon enough.
Didn't they call LeSean McCoy the human joystick?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be difficult.
I think so.
Relationships can be hard.
Yes, they can.
As an athlete, you have to understand that whatever problems are in your relationship, it's not worth your career. So don't lose your cool. Don't hit ladies. Don't give them date rape drugs. And please, don't kill their dogs.
Yeah, don't kill the dog.
On April 19th, Denicia Williams called police to report that her former boyfriend had killed her dog named Dwar. Williams told police that she had taken Dwar to Prince Shembo of the Atlanta Falcons, taking him to Shembo's house in a Georgia apartment complex 4 days earlier. At some point during her stay, Williams left Shembo and her dog unattended. When she returned, the dog was unresponsive, she told police. Williams took the dog to the animal hospital, where the dog died shortly after arrival. The following day, Shembo, the linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons, allegedly made comments to Williams about killing the dog, and then she broke up with him.
Ooh.
He was cut today by the Atlanta Falcons. This happened in April. It took a month and a half for them to cut him.
Well, they checked into it. They had to check into it to see if it was the actually happened.
This dog was a Yorkie. Killed the Yorkie because he was upset that his girlfriend had broken up with him.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's horrible. That is absolutely. I'm glad he got cut. That's horrible.
Here's the thing. There are plenty of fish in the sea, let alone for an NFL player. Plenty. I mean, there are so many women out there.
It's hard to imagine what these guys must be thinking. You take Ray McDonald, too. He just can't figure it out. He's going to hit someone. He's going to strangle someone. And it's always going to be a female, apparently. But he also got picked up and arrested again for breaking the restraining order and going back to California to see the girl that he had so much trouble with and then cost him his job. That after being in trouble again in Chicago, and then just two or three days later arrested for the a restraining violation that his agent swears was not given to him. It was not a restraining order given. There was one on it, on that woman, but it wasn't given to Ray McDonald, apparently. I beg to differ.
Probably. Why are people so stupid?
They're ignorant.
I think it's worse than ignorant. I think it's just plain old stupidity.
Yeah. Well,
it's being really stupid.
I don't get it.
Here are some more idiots. Two USC baseball players are embroiled in a lawsuit now after they allegedly videotaped one of them having sex with his ex-girlfriend and distributing the tape to the teammates.
See right there. That would not be a good thing to do.
Former USC outfielder Von Bozian had sex with his girlfriend back in 2013 while teammate Sean Adler videotaped it from the closet.
Okay.
The young lady in question, Sean Adler ended up was at the apartment with Von.
Yeah.
The girlfriend came over, said his goodbyes, and he didn't leave. He pretended like he was leaving, but went into the. They had this whole thing planned out.
Apparently so.
The young lady in question discovered the video 8 months after, because it was being passed around, and one of her friends said, "By the way, did you know that this is going on?"
What's wrong with people? Hey, look, you know, just do it normally. Like, just go behind closed doors and lock the damn thing and go in there and do what you got to do. Just relax.
Yeah.
Don't have your friend go in the closet. What are you doing letting your friend go in the closet and videotape you?
Idiots.
What's wrong with you? Idiot people.
Yeah, finally in sillier side of sports, and you wonder why you and I hate people.
Yeah.
I don't wonder. I know why, because there's idiots.
They're all
19-year-old, this is a kind of a local story, Madison, Wisconsin. 19-year-old Madison, Wisconsin man facing charges after police say he grew upset over someone taking the last piece of sausage.
Okay.
They take sausage seriously
Wisconsin, you don't steal sausage.
Around 3:30 a.m. on May 12th, Madison police officer Lisa Esposito was dispatched in a report of a dispute Madison Police Lieutenant Joseph Cirilla said in the news release, after Esposito arrived, she learned that Thomas Bacon is the guy's name.
Okay.
Allegedly.
This is made up, right?
No, it's a serious.
Bacon.
Thomas Bacon allegedly assaulted another person in the house for eating the breakfast sausage.
Wasn't there any bacon left? There should have been bacon, was probably offered as another option, Jeez. Was it not? If you don't want sausage or can't get a piece of sausage, you'd certainly think the bacon would be... Okay.
You certainly can't...
I don't know. I mean, you hear about people fighting over a game or NASCAR or food or someone's opinion of what... Who should have won? I mean, they take knives to each other, brothers.
Well, remember
sons
yesterday we talked about this.
And, you hear about it all the time. What is wrong with
a
these
house
people?
Guest stabbed the homeowner's daughter in the eye after she was upset for taking the last rib.
It just crazy. Is unreal, man. I mean, it's crazy. People, you got to be really hungry to attack someone over. I mean, I love to eat. I mean, you do too.
Me too.
I don't think I'd stab you.
No.
You took the last rib.
No, I would stab you, though. Plenty of food down here at the office on Washington and 3rd. Please come down and hang out. Free parking in the back if you're going to this Twins game. They're set to start in about 15 minutes or so. Great people, great food, wonderful people. We'll be down here, I believe, next Friday as well. Every Friday, Twins home game. We're at the office. Washington and 3rd, great drink specials from Coors Light, free parking in the back, free Twins tickets that we're giving away as well. I'm off for a couple of days. Have fun with Brian Murphy and our guy Sam Ekstrom, who did a heck of a job back at the station today. Thanks to Mac Daddy for running the things out here. I'll miss you for a couple of days, but indeed. I really need some time away from you badly. I'm just burnt out. No, that's not true. I'm
going
to miss you to death. I'm going to cry myself to sleep. It's going to be sad.
You'll get through it. You'll get through it. Just show up next Wednesday, and we'll start off again and try and get this thing back on track.
All right.
Okay?
Take us home, brother. Time.
We have a true superstar, as we always do at the end of every show. Army Staff Sergeant Liam J. Nevins. Was 32 years of age, from Denver, Colorado, assigned to the 5th Battalion, 19th Special Forces Group, from Watkins, Colorado, died September 21st at Forward Operating Base Shank. Wounds suffered when enemy forces attacked his unit with small arms fire while conducting range training in Gardez Patia province in Afghanistan. Also killed in the incident were Staff Sergeant Timothy McGill and Specialist Joshua Strickland. Remember, though, specifically, Army Staff Sergeant Liam J. Nevins in your hearts and prayers, if you would, please. Have a good weekend. Keep it safe. Good night.
In the Kolkogren, wherefore many men have gone, lay me down in the Kolkogren. Many men have gone. When they come, I will stand my ground. Stand.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.